making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, 10:05
Friday morning. It's Hardy in for Beetle alongside Scott Zola.
Hey,
so long, Wallach.
See you, Walk. Door hit you in the ass. See you, buddy. I thought of you yesterday. It's a tweet. Eric B. and Rock Kim. I said, like, my man Walk, appreciate that. I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke. That's right. Wallach's got more hip hop in him for a white dude than anybody.
Can
would
we get Wallach
expect.
Back in here for 1 second,
Wallach,
please?
Come here.
Just
sure,
the one thing. I don't want to delay the start of your weekend, but I need Wallach on the mic for 1 minute before he leaves the building for the weekend, because Wallach is also a big fan of Minneapolis Funk, Prince, The Time, and he and I have had discussions about one certain song from The Time called "Jerk Out."
Yes.
And did you know, Wallach, that that is number one, pretty much a Prince song.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. It was kind of written by him, but it was recorded, and I don't know if it was ever commercially released, but as a demo by another band, and the Prince version with his lyrics and the other band that did it, much darker than The Time's "Jerk Out." When Morris Day does it, it may not be totally PC for 2018. There's a couple of things in there that it might, you know, get a little, you know, a little cluck,
leave
a little
the number on, leave the number on the table on my, near my data bank. Yeah, I love you, but you got to go. That
yeah,
one,
yeah, just a little still. Oh, the other version. Yeah, like, wouldn't fly in 2018.
Who recorded?
Look it up. I'm sorry to bring you back in here for it. But go and research just a quick Google search of the original Jerk Out lyrics, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Sweet. Uh-huh. You know Sugar Ray Leonard in the video.
For Jerk Out?
Yep. Look that up. God.
I believe you. All right, thanks, buddy.
See you, Walt.
There goes Wallach. Zolak and I are going to be doing the show today. We're going to be having, we got some Bill Burr tickets to give away a little bit later on. We're going to talk about Jaylen Brown and the Celtics. The Bruins with another fantastic win last night. And another game winner from Brad Marchand, because, of course, he got the game winner. Like 28 seconds
shocking.
Left. It's unbelievable.
It's almost like it's expected now.
To watch this team right now and what they did. But we'll
get to them.
We'll get to all that first. But, you know, a couple of days ago, we're talking about Nate Solder. And we're talking about the notion that it's more important for you to re-sign Nate Solder than it was Rob Gronkowski. And look, it's a good thing to talk about back and forth, right? Good talker.
It was my number one off-season priority.
Number one. I said no, Rob Gronkowski, you could be able to do it. But I also did it under the assumption kind of that both would be back. I'm just assuming Nate Solder is going to be playing for the Patriots again next year because of, look, you need Nate Solder here to protect Tom Brady, and to be on that, be on that offensive line, and that just makes sense. There's things happening now that put that issue in doubt.
So. I agree.
So
yeah,
bring me and everybody up to speed on what's going on with Nate Solder.
Well, I agree. I think it's the number one offseason priority. I said it a week ago, even before we started this discussion. Saw somebody last night, very close to Nate, and I think Nate's sort of floored and has to reconsider some options here. And one of the major options is staying put, right? You got drafted here. They Skarnecchia went and worked you out one-on-one. I remember watching the combine video when I said, wow, this guy's really athletic for a tackle. Former tight end. You know, they went out to Colorado, worked him out. I actually picked him to get drafted exactly where he was getting drafted. It's the only Patriots draft pick that I've hit on in the last 10, 15 years where I picked a guy in the spot, and it was Nate Solder. Did that on Channel 4. So he told me that there was an assumption, and I think, as you know Nate, that this thing's going to work out somehow because of the situation. It's Brady. Guy's 41. This guy's played his backside for how many years now? Played at a high level. Played with Vollmer. Played with Matt Light. Sort of guys that are big structured guys. And that's what you need at tackles. Now, Cannon on the other side is a front side tackle. And I say front side tackle. It's more stout, thicker legs, more of a grader. That's the guy you want to run behind. Solder, with his length in his arms and his ability to stretch, is the guy you want on the backside to push guys up the field past the quarterback. Be athletic. Move. Understand it. You've been in the league forever now, so nothing's going to fool you. You've seen everything.
And before we get too much more into the contract
right.
stuff, does it get a little too much attention, or is it a little overrated based on how teams attack Tom Brady? Are they coming around that side? Or are they trying to go up through the middle? Or is it both, to the point where you're going to need that guy over on the left side more than anything, if they don't attack that way all the time?
You look at some of the guys they played over the course of the year, going back to the Julius Peppers, when it was Carolina, it was Jadeveon Clowney, who was a freak on the outside. We could go back to even edge guys for Buffalo, who you always seem to get the edge guys, the good ones in the league, and they leave them outside. Rarely do you get that wrecker in the middle anymore, and you have to run those games. But Skarnecki is so good at coaching those whether it's Andrews, Tooney, Mason. Mason had a hell of a year.
But even for teams that are shooting linebackers right. up the middle, and
you shoot
them
and you bring them, but you always roll the dice and you hope that where'd the pressure come from Brady in the Super Bowl? That last hit from that right side, because the ball got knocked out. It's off the edge. It wasn't up the middle.
Okay.
But it was a game. It's an outside guy. So you got to be able to absorb that and push it past Tom.
So while there are other ways of getting to Tom Brady and other ways of getting a quarterback in the league.
When's the last time Brady got clocked from the backside?
Right. Don't overthink it. You got to protect those edges.
Right.
And starting with the left side.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
all right, so
this person told me.
I want to get that off to the side so we can just assume going forward now for this conversation, it's important. We don't overrate the position.
Right.
We don't overrate its importance.
Okay.
Okay. All right, good.
And this is after I was listening to Felger and Mass. And Felger and Mass went through a list of the top free agents when free agency is going to start. So they went through the list, and Nate was listed at 11th on the list. 11th best overall player, not tackle, not offensive lineman, but player, including guys like Kirk Cousins and all those guys ahead of him. Case Keenum, you name it. So they went through the list. So what they did is they took out all the quarterbacks. Okay, so as far as need and demands, because you kind of know where the other two, it's going to be Denver and Minnesota. So it's flipped, or potentially the Jets for a quarterback. But Keenum and Cousins are going to balance each other out. Drew Brees is going to stay down in New Orleans.
Yep.
And then they went through the guys that got tagged from a franchise tag standpoint. So guys like Joyner out with the Rams. Who else? A couple other guys. I forget who the hell they were. But okay, so take them off the board. So all of a sudden, Nate at 11th. When you take players that are no longer available, because when you franchise somebody, they're not available anymore, unless you're going to give up two first-round picks, Nate slides all the way up to fourth. Fourth overall best player in free agency. And there's people who think this guy sucks. You know what I mean? So let that absorb for a minute.
Well, the people who think that he sucks are the people that look at Tom Brady.
And they remember the sacks.
And they remember the sacks, and they don't look. And look, I'm not saying that he sucks. But I'll also count myself among the group of people who don't watch the offensive line under a microscope on every play. And most people don't. Hell, Mike Flynn will sit in here and tell you, it's like, no, I don't watch the offensive line. I can tell you what's going on if you want me to go back and focus in on it. But in a good football game, you shouldn't have to be looking at the offensive line. You're looking at the other stuff.
So, long story short here, there's two really good teams that have money to spend that have him, I think, in the $13 to $14 million a year range.
$13 to $14 million per year.
He's already making $10-11 million a year
for Nate Solder.
And if you're in demand, and you're one of the lone guys out there that say, "Wow, let's get Tom Brady's backside tackle. He's been pretty freaking good over his career." Remember how Denver that AFC Championship game to get their ass kicked, and Brady got hit 25 times, knocked down, it was fourth and goal, and we're down on the 2 yard line. Nate Solder didn't play in that game. How many games like that you want? Symmetry up front with the offensive line is as important as having a secondary to play together.
Tommy Curran wrote about this. He said he is.
I think Solder's gone.
He said he is at the top of the free agent tackle class. Somebody is going to pay him. And it's a tribute to how shallow the pool is that teammates Cameron Fleming and Le Adrian Waddle are also in the mix as the best free agent tackle prospects. So, the Patriots have three expiring contracts at left tackle. Let's say that again, Zoe. The Patriots have three expiring contracts at left tackle. Last offseason, they traded a first-round pick to acquire Brandon Cooks and took a flamethrower to their second-round pick by trading it for Coney Ealy, who never played it down. The Patriots, primarily Skarnecchia, the lineman whisperer, have had success through the years shepherding players from nowhere to capable. Marcus Cannon should present Scarnecchia in Canton if the voters were shrewd enough to realize he's been a Hall of Fame assistant. Maybe that happens with Garcia when we're talking about other options here. But
think about this.
But the first option, if they can get it done, is still going to be Nate Solder. Are they going to be able to get it done?
I don't know if they want to stretch to that. Like, you've really got to convince him. And I've heard the stuff about, and we all know the stuff with the family. And I'm not going to get into Nate's personal life. But when you're making $13, $14 million a year, and you've got two young, hungry teams that are interested in this tackle, and said, you know what, if you need treatment, and you want to get back and forth to Boston, here's our private jet. Team-owned private jet. Dropping a bucket to that team. And plus, when you're making what he's making, you see the price to fly private now? So don't give me all the stuff that he needs to stay here because of the kid. They've done wonders with him. They really have.
We begin talking with Nate Solder. We'll take your calls. Let's go. 617.
There's no Aqib Talib either. That's next, damn it.
779-0985. Hardy in for Beadle. It's Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bad week.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
Not even.
It's just a thing with me, you know. If I see something that I like, it's, I have to go for it. And I like what I see, baby. Come here. I got real bored on Friday night. I couldn't find a damn thing to do. So I pulled out a suit about the same color as my BMW. I drove to the party and I stepped on in just to see what I could see. Everybody knew what I was looking for. I was looking for some company. That's right.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Frabeetle, Nate Solder. According to Zoe's sense, according to the sense of Tommy Kerner wrote about it, he says that he preferred to stay in New England.
Absolutely, 100%, and I think he's floored by what's being offered.
Right.
Potentially going to be offered.
He brings up what the Colts did with Anthony Costanzo. He's taken five spots earlier.
Is Costanzo there?
In 2011. Five spots earlier, or excuse me, after Solder in 2011. So, just putting it in perspective, yeah. Solder's made a little over $35 million, right,
yeah,
in his seven NFL seasons.
Money.
Costanzo, left tackle for the Colts, taken five spots after Solder, has made $43 million. So, he's already made $8 million more than Solder, and is on the books to make $59 million through 2019. So he's got another 16 coming. And again, Curran says, this doesn't mean I think the Patriots should do business like the Colts, but this is just more information that Solder is going to put down in his head and on paper when he's looking and saying, well, what kind of contract should I be signing here? Here's what this guy got taken after me. He's playing for the Colts. But why am I only going to sign for this much? Of course I like it here. I've been playing for the Patriots. My son's been getting very good care here in Boston,
yeah,
in the hub of the medical universe.
Well, Nate's one of the most cerebral, smart guys you've ever been around.
Right.
But when someone comes at you and throws you sick money.
Yes.
And it's like,
and not even sick money, though. Just money that other guys
are
making.
He's sacrificing his body, too, just like Gronkowski. He's ripped his biceps off. He's gotten hurt before. So at some point you think, boy, what am I doing this for? And if somebody wants to set me up for life that way, my God. My God. You got to consider it. And you're not going to hold it over their head. See,
right,
that's the thing. This guy. So you add this to the list of problems. So D.L. Lewis is going to be gone probably, right? Butler's definitely gone. Gronkowski's still messing around. Wink, wink. And now throw this into the mix and you didn't get Talib? This has the potential to be a really bad week. Starting next Wednesday.
You want to talk about Talib now? You want to get to it?
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't know it was $19 million guaranteed. So we talked about this yesterday. So it was he and Sherman potentially.
Yeah.
We knew the contract, but yeah. Rams said we'll fully guarantee it.
What?
Fully guarantee it. Fully guarantee your 19.
What?
So I picked it up. He said, Mine says to win out west.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. You pair him with Marcus Peters, and you got Joyner at that safety. Now they lost Ogletree, I think, the linebacker, so they have. But still, it's Wade Phillips, base defense. That's man-to-man. Lock it up. Have fun with that, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Once again,
twice next year.
If you didn't hear, the Rams and Broncos finalized their deal. Aqib Talib is going to the L.A. Rams. in exchange for a fifth round pick. And all the, again, the contract dollars all guaranteed for Tlaib. How much though?
$19 million. 2 years. Well, he's 32. I think he's 32. So you got your young corner and then you got your experienced guy on the other side for them. Wade's happy as a clam. Are clams happy?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's oh, they're the same, always right? smiling.
That's right.
He's smiling at me.
Like the bearded one. Yeah.
Does it make you feel any better knowing that the Patriots would not do a deal like that? Do you think the Patriots would have done a deal like that?
I think they would have done, I don't know, 215?
Yeah. All guaranteed?
Probably.
Yeah.
10 of it maybe? I don't know.
I know. It's like, well,
I don't know.
That's
don't
a
know.
Huge difference.
I mean, they
you
got,
just talk about having yeah. $5 million a year guaranteed as opposed to
they don't have
nine
a ton of money.
And a half.
They don't have a ton of money. They rank, what, 25th? In available salary cap room, that's towards the bottom of the league.
Well, and look, we looked at all the salary cap stuff recently. Apparently, you can spend as much as you want. You know, you defer those bonuses, you do all kinds of crazy stuff in order to mess around with the cap. And yeah, the cap is there, but you can spend more if you want to.
Yeah.
Do they want to spend that much more? Would you want to spend that much more to get Aqib Talib, guarantee him $19 million for 2 years?
No, because you need to get Gronk and hey, people forget about Brady. What, do you not want to give him a bump? How's he been playing the last 2 years? Coming off an MVP year, 505 yards in a Super Bowl. You still got Gronk. You got him. You got Amendola. And you got some guys you still got to pay. Imagine if you had Garoppolo tagged. This is why you can't. Do people understand why you couldn't tag Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, you'll figure it out. Just get him tagged. Maybe you couldn't. You'd be over the cap right now. You'd be cutting guys just to get legal for next Wednesday.
Right.
Then where do you go? What do you start with? We know what the cap is next year, $177 million plus. You can't take. You couldn't tag Garoppolo. It would account $24.5 million against the cap. Brady's in at 22. That's $45 million right there, two in one position.
Not doing it.
That's why lots of people thought, well, just tag him. Figure it out. No, you can't figure it out. Can't. Can't.
And then we're going to tag a guy to sit on the bench. They weren't going to pay a guy $24 million.
I mean, tag him to the future and figure out the contract.
Yeah,
know?
To figure it's, it out, but still.
You sign him long term. I don't know.
But here's what I do know.
You son. Wouldn't be able to spend time getting ready for free agency. That's the thing.
This season shaping up to be the exact opposite of last season, where we rolled into training camp saying, this team is a wagon. This team is loaded.
See, it feels you've like Philly's Malcolm, doing it.
You've got Butler on one corner. You got Gilmore at the other. Yeah. You've got Edelman. You got Gronkowski. You got Amendola.
Yep.
Holy crap! Brandon Cooks is here now. This team was loaded.
Brandon
up
Cooks
and
might not
ready
be here.
To go.
You might have a whole changing offensive philosophy. I don't know, but
so across the board between the offense and the defense, you got Nate Solder. You got Brandon Cooks. Malcolm Butler. Something tells me Malcolm Butler ain't gonna be here. So we're gonna
Gilsley be gone. Probably Burkhead will be gone.
All of these things.
Your only running back might be James White and Brandon Bolden. They're two running backs when free agency starts.
Right now, is it shaping up to be the opposite of last year? Now,
they're gonna find guys, and you do have you can rebuild guys, the running back position through the draft.
Guys, yes,
yeah,
but there was no question as to the guys that they had signed and ready to go in camp last year.
That's
there was
different. No, you brought in veteran help. That's the first time they went, and if we lost draft picks based on Deflategate, we're going to fix it by going out and getting guys. We're going to get Coney Ealy. There's our second round pick. We're going to give our first for Brandon Cooks, and get proven sort of talent. You may have to roll the dice through the draft this year and hope young guys step up, the way guys like Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower did early in their careers.
Now we know how it ended up, and it resulted in a trip to the Super Bowl,
right?
But it didn't play out the way you thought it was going to. And the first thing that happened was Julian Edelman goes down, never gets to play.
Yep.
Brandon Cooks does not automatically click with Tom Brady the way you thought he was going to.
I don't think it ever will.
Gilmore didn't automatically turn into a shutdown corner the way a lot of people expected he would.
He got better, though.
He got better. It wasn't an automatic. Yeah. So while as different as this offseason could end up being for this team heading into camp, it doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world. Because right. when you were absolutely, to borrow from Damon Amendola, loaded for bear going into the beginning of last season.
Loaded for bear me.
It means you've got your biggest gun and you've...
Oh, you're ready to kill the bear.
Right. Loaded for bear at the beginning of last season. there were a couple of missteps due to injury, due to guys not necessarily being on the same page with Brady Gilmore.
Do you have to go out and get Sherman now? Like, that's the thing. Like, do you have to go get Richard Sherman?
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
After Sarge's Hub headlines, here's Sarge's in for me because I'm in for Beetle. You're on Zolak and Bertrand.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, thank you, Hardy. Well, the Bruins won their fifth straight home game last night, 3-2 in overtime against the Flyers. Brad Marchand, game winner, 22 seconds into the overtime period. Marchand now with a team-high 29 goals. One of the guys stepping up during the absence of Patrice Bergeron and Charlie McAvoy.
I think we all have to carry the load a bit. I think we're all feeling that. It's very hard missing a guy like him and McAvoy and now backs. For a few games, it's tough to replace them. So, I think we all feel that a bit and have to step up.
Riley Nash and Brian Gionta each had goals in the win for the Bruins. And the Black and Gold close out the homestand tomorrow against Chicago in the first of a home and home. Celtics winners at Minnesota 117-109 against the T-Wolves. Kyrie Irving, he had 23 in the win. Jaylen Brown. Ooh, you see that, Zoe? Jaylen Brown took a scary fall on his back.
Yeah.
That was scary. Yeah, and the neck after a slam dunk in the third quarter. Was checked for a concussion, then sent to the hospital for a CT scan. Did fly home with the team overnight and only having a headache. So that's some good news. Also, a couple of days rest as the Celtics will host the Pacers on Sunday night. NFL news, the LA Rams reportedly agreeing to send the Broncos a fifth-round draft pick for cornerback Aqib Talib. And the Red Sox will take on the Marlins today in Jupiter, Florida. Chris Sale will make his spring training debut. Sox yesterday, a 6-6 exhibition tie against Tampa Bay. And in college basketball, BC lost to Clemson 90-82 in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. UMass, they lost to George Mason 80-75. Sports Up headlines are brought to you by MassachusettsCosmetic.com, offering a huge New Year's special on testosterone replacement therapy and Gainswave treatments, 877-577-5476. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Up. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sarge has a correction. Go ahead, Sarge.
Yes, yep. I apologize 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand scored the game winner last night with 22 seconds remaining in regulation, not overtime. So I do apologize.
You know what?
The way I was writing it, I'm all thrown off today.
No, but I've done this before too. Yeah. Just because you start thinking one thing
exactly.
And it ends up being the other, and it's Brad Marchand who gets the game winner, and you think just in your head it's like, oh, another overtime winner
exactly.
for Marchand.
It happened earlier.
Yeah. So all right, don't wait. Listen,
thank you, Hardy.
I know people kill you for it.
No,
they kill
but
me for it. You get stuck. Yeah. Look. There's no one here doing this for us. We're all doing
right,
this ourselves.
Buddy.
So it's fine, Sarge, and I'm glad you corrected it, and let's all move on with our
and
lives.
I appreciate them listening.
Oh, boy.
I just screened the latest edition of The Fuppets. This may be the best one ever.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I've heard great things about it, yeah.
Oh, man, it might be the best one
6
ever.
6 o'clock tonight, right?
The Jimmy Stewart puppet is amazing.
Well, let me tell you something. When Felger went off on the whole Chinese space station falling back to Earth, it was something special because this is not a put on. People ask you all the time. What do people ask you most about when you work here at the radio station? For me, it's like, oh, Zoe, that must be something else every day. And I say, oh, yes, it is.
Sure
is. And then they generally ask about Felger. Is he really like that? And it's, for better or worse, yes.
Yeah.
Felger, it is not a put on in any way. And I like Felger and we get along great. But when he goes off on things like being afraid of the Chinese space station falling,
it's
not a joke.
No, it's that.
He's afraid the Chinese space station is going to fall through and
meteors
crash through the roof of his breakfast nook there in this palatial Felger compound and kill him. That's what he's afraid
of. He should be.
So when he went off on that and provided that type of material, how could it not go well?
Right.
So anyway, that'll be later today. Right now we're talking about the Patriots. Then we're talking about. I guess other guys out there rumored to maybe be,
yeah.
Or you think about, well, you think like, oh, who would be a good fit over here? And with Aqib Talib now going to the Rams, and you're going to need help at corner, presumably. Is it, and by the way,
or maybe not.
We'll set.
Maybe not. This struck a nerve with me. The ESPN Boston story. Mike Reese posted it.
Let's talk about that before we even talk about Richard Sherman. Let's talk about what the Patriots have at corner right now, and realistically, what's going to happen and what could happen.
Yeah, Reese is like they may seem to themselves like they might be set because you've got Gilmore there, who is due still a lot of big money. He counts 12.5 against the cap this year, highest defensive player. They said opposite him is Eric Rowe with Batamosi, and there's. Don't forget, guys, about this one. This is the one where I almost went nuts, okay? Cyrus Jones is coming back healthy.
Mm.
How did he look when he was prior to the injury?
Yeah.
You just made two noises as answers.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, we're on the sound effects.
Mm, strong like bull.
Cyrus Jones is all right.
Yeah. Bill Belichick's down at Alabama Pro Day. And what I tell you last week, two corners ran sub 4.4. He's down there looking at more Alabama corners. You're going to get an Alabama corner in the second round. I'm telling you. Get ready for it. They may think.
What about his scouts? How many people on staff for the Patriots, and not just there in Foxborough every day, but are on the payroll in some way, shape, or form, out looking at players, doing stuff, remotely, all this stuff?
He took the time to fly to Tuscaloosa.
Okay, but Zoe, he's got people telling him stuff from all over the country. And again, I don't think Belichick found this guy on his own. But this happened before. You know what happens with Rutgers players. It's happened with Rutgers players in the past. It's happened with players coming off the Buccaneers. Sometimes Belichick is just Alabama. Secondary player from Alabama. I like him. Let's get him. Yeah. Like all this work, it has a feeling out the window.
He goes to these pro days. And he's done it with Florida. He did it when Urban Meyer was down there. That was his connection. Shiano with Rutgers, same thing. You go there because he was just at the combine. He knows what these guys were in. He saw them there. He's going to go there, watch him work out again, and there's going to be somebody else, maybe the ninth player in the workout that piques his interest. Holy Jesus. Nick, you didn't tell me about this backside tackle you had. Big son of a bitch, 6'9", 310 pounds. We putting our 20 pounds on him. What do you think, realistically? Fourth round? Third round? How's his feet? You play tight end. You play basketball. And they're going to go back to the whole history. Well, you know, Bill, when I recruited him, you know, we went in. It was in his mama's kitchen. And he was playing basketball. See, this is what goes on. He's going there not to look at the two front runners. He did this, a year ago with the Vanderbilt kid. Everybody thought, you're getting his pass rush from Vanderbilt. Yeah, he went there to peek at him, but he's looking at other guys. He's going there to see the entire squad work out. So probably 19 guys, 19 seniors trying out. He's going to find number 12 to 13 and circle him as a third, fourth round pick. But I mean, based on the way this is trending.
Okay, so right now they've got Gilmore. Sherman. They've got Gilmore. They've got, let's say, inconsistency with Eric Rowe and Jonathan Jones.
Yep. You got Jonathan Jones, to me, is a good nickel guy in a perfect situation and used as a special team.
Do we want to talk about Cyrus Jones?
You have to. He's not going anywhere. He's your second-round pick. He's going to get another shot. Guess who's going to return punts with Danny Amendola? Him. Guess what? If Deion Lewis.
Returning punts.
Here we go.
Returning punts is fine. I'm talking about playing corner.
Another one. Another punch or nuts. Both of them. If Danny Amendola is gone because somebody else offers him $6 million, and Deion Lewis is gone because he gets 6.5 a year, guess who your number one returner is? 24, Cyrus Jones. Oh. He doesn't wear 24.
41.
41 now.
40.
Because you forget, he was so bad because when Gilmore got here, he gave him the number. That's a joke.
Yeah.
try the bill. Do you people understand where this is trending? Okay. Now, I'm not in panic mode yet because they're going to win 12 games again because your division sucks and you're going to take care of your teams at home, right? It's going to be a tough game at Pittsburgh. Get through those. We're going to be okay. I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. But tell me who else on that defense can help you stop people. You got shredded in that Super Bowl. Absolutely shredded.
Well, you're playing against a all-universe quarterback like Nick Foles.
And two top receivers. Torrey Smith's been with like four different teams since his good days in Baltimore.
Cyrus Jones. You're right. He's going to be here.
I'm telling you.
They won't move on from a second-round pick from 2016 because it's just throwing money away. That's the way they look at it. You're just throwing away a second-round pick and They can't allow themselves, not just the Patriots, any team, to move on that quickly from that high of a draft pick because it just it looks bad and it feels bad.
I got another point,
and they won't do it. And by the way, we talk about this all under the assumption, and I believe it is, but is there any way, is there any chance that Malcolm Butler remains on this team?
No.
There can't be, no. Right?
Nope, because I thought they would have tagged him maybe potentially.
Mm-mm. There would have been a chance, though.
Like, it's a freakish outlier.
Before the Super Bowl, right. There was a chance.
He would go probably somewhere else and take less, get a little more. And he only made $3 million bucks last year, 3.8. Not only. But in corners world, when you're the fourth highest corner in the last 4 years, the number one guy to play the most snaps in the last 4 years, didn't play a snap in the Super Bowl, got only $4 million last year. You think he's coming back? Come on. You're a smart guy.
He would take.
Get to a couple of these calls, because I got another point on Sherman before we get up against it here.
All right. You know, we're going to have to wait.
Oh, why?
We're not going to do it right now.
Okay.
We're going to stay on time today.
All right.
Call. I promise.
That's why you drive the bus.
The calls are next.
Calls next.
So just hang on for a couple of minutes, and we'll get to you right on the other side.
Mmm.
Mmm. Yeah.
Zulak and Bertrand.
Zulak and Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zulak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Eddie Grant just had a birthday. Don't ask me why I know this. Do you know how old Eddie Grant is?
Well, when I was young, I dug this song, so he's got to be 65.
I'm going to say
63?
67.
On March 5th, he turned 70.
Wow!
Oh, man, holy cow!
Electric Avenue. And then
the United Kingdom boy?
He was born in
Brit?
British
Guinea. It don't sound like he's Brit.
British West Indies. So he's, I mean, technically, and Sarge, I guess you're correct, but he's born in the Caribbean.
Oh, so he's got nice teeth then. Right. His teeth are better, probably.
He's got great teeth.
Come on. So, let's get your calls here. 617-779-0985. We'll start with Bob in Waltham on Nate Solder. Go ahead, Bob. You're on with Hardy and for Beetle today and Zolak. What's up?
Zo, what's going on, my guys?
Bob.
Friday, baby. We made it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hardy, you're a great dude, too. Love the show, baby.
Okay, I was wondering.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Zo, baby, if we don't get Solder back right now, is it easier to draft a rookie and have Scarnecchia mold him, or are we going to look to get a cheaper guy in the market? And secondly, what do you think we're giving Sherman for a contract we get him?
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks Bob. Start with the first one. Realistically, with your 41-year-old quarterback, that's what he will be when the season starts, 41.
Yeah, you put a brand-new guy in at left tackle to protect Tom Brady.
Maybe we'll be on the road at Pittsburgh week one. That'd be fun. No.
Nate Solder got an apprentice year, essentially, under Matt Light.
Remember when they would substitute? Like, he would play tight end, and they would rotate guys. There was that weird rotation, him, Light, and Fulmer.
Well, they were trying to figure it out for a while.
Right. They were trying to keep guys loose is what they were doing. They were counting reps is what they were doing. I ended up finding out at the end of the year that they found it better to keep guys fresh and let's rotate them through. Gun to the head right now, you'd have to move Cannon to left, keep Fleming front side, and LeAdrian Waddle would be the backup swing guy. You also have the kid Garcia, who's sick. And you don't know, can he put 50 pounds back on like that? No. Remember when Jamie Collins was out for a while and, you didn't have your weight and you lost all that weight and you didn't have your legs? It's tough to get back in football playing shape that way. But I wouldn't say, hey, that's the plan I want to do. But say you would lose Solder at the end of the year from an injury or something. You would have to, in an emergency, swing Cannon back because he's the most experienced guy. He's not built to play left. He's built to play right. Or front side of the quarterback. If the quarterback was left-handed, he'd be a left tackle.
I mean,
you
see
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Even if they could, let's say they could franchise Solder, which they can't because his contract won't allow it. Which,
brilliant.
By the way, how smart does that look now for Nate Solder?
Which also plays into the don't think he's just going to take a hometown discount because they would have franchised him and they would have figured it out.
Yeah. So, no. If they were able to do that and bring in a rookie left tackle and have him like learn under Solder or something for a year, I'm not even sure if that's the best move. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have that. They're obviously going to have to do something if he decides to move on. But that's it's tough because of what you said, Zoe. You're talking about a 41-year-old quarterback who's the best in the game, the best to ever play the game, but he is not going to roll out of the pocket and protect himself right. and avoid trouble. He needs help.
See, and
he needs people there to keep the edge rushers either off or up so he can slide into the pocket a little bit further. Give me that extra second or two. I mean, talk about a chess match, the way that offensive line has to play for Brady.
How many times does Brady change the play? How many times does he change the play? How many times does he redirect guys and change the call?
Constantly.
Do you understand? If you would throw a rookie out there at the beginning of the year, does this team play well at the beginning of the year to begin with?
No.
No.
Yeah,
September,
2-2.
September is an extension of the preseason for them. Imagine what teams would do to that side. They'd F with you, man. They'd move people around. They'd try and bring it, see if you could pick it up, see if this kid could pick up calls. I wouldn't want to put any kid in that spot. So let's get to the Sherman point.
Hold on. We're going to get to the other call first.
Oh, okay, good. You had a question about Sherman. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Tyler.
No, go Tyler. Go Tyler.
All right, go ahead, Tyler.
What do you got, Tyler?
What's up, guys?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
With Deion Lewis more than likely gone, do you guys think we should sign possibly DeMarco Murray? And
no.
One last thing. What do you guys think of possibly signing Derek Johnson? Thanks.
Thank you.
It's a possibility. I'd say no to both because I think ideally for their offense and the way it fits, and at this point with McDaniels coming back and Brady here, you want it to be somewhat seamless. Deion Lewis, James White fits those roles, and you sprinkle in those other guys. I wouldn't go get Murray because he's up and down, meaning he runs upright. Big, tall runner, you know, downhill guy. Really doesn't fit what they do. They had to with Gilsley. It didn't work. I'm telling you, I think the best guy they have the chance to bring back is Deion Lewis. And I say that because is there really a team that's going to mortgage it to where you got to pay a guy that you want to touch? Is he a 20, 25 carry a game guy at his size? 6.5 a year? See, I think he could potentially go out and find out. Market isn't what my agent told me it was going to be. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at the fact that Deion Lewis is the guy they have the best chance to bring back. And he plays the one position that the Patriots are least interested in being able to bring back.
Because they're not going to overpay. Do you understand why? I say that because they're not going to overpay for him.
Yeah, well, yeah. And if you could tell the Patriots, like season after season, like, all right, list all the positions you're most interested in and having the same guys play on the roster. Running back is the last one. Like, we'll go get another running back.
Exactly.
That's fine. It's no big deal.
I mean,
who cares?
You let Edelman and McCourty go test the market. Go find numbers and see if it's set. See, I think they nail the market as far as those positions. They understand it better than anybody from a size standpoint.
I know. I used to hate the whole notion of nailing the market. Oh, they nailed the market with Welker. But you lost your Tom Brady's favorite receiver. You know what? It ended up being the right move.
How's Edelman and Amendola been?
Right. I know. Yeah. I know. I don't like it. And I like it even less when it ends up working out and makes me look and feel stupid. All right. What's your Richard Sherman point on the previous
So everybody's caller? Bitching about money, right? He's at 12 a year. So he's sitting there saying, okay, if it's a coin flip between me and Aqib, and it is from a veteran standpoint, guys that are available, teams are ready to move on from because of age, because of contract. Well, if that guy got $19 million guaranteed. And they just completely picked up the final 2 years. They have no problem. What did Richard Sherman say? I'm not restructuring. I'm not taking any hits.
Mm-hmm.
He said that. And this is why he's in the problem he is with Seattle. If he's not willing to come back to earth a little bit, meaning $9 million a year, $8 million a year, because he's younger than Aqib. I think he's younger than Aqib. Yeah, he's younger than Aqib. Then all of a sudden it takes him out of the mix. Because you're not going to pay Gilmore 12.5 and then go pay him 12.5. You know, cripple yourself on defense? Gives you no room to do anything else. No flexibility whatsoever with your front. So, that's where we're at.
They got themselves in a tough spot.
This is the first domino. We start with this today because it's the first domino to fall. Next Wednesday starts free agency. Keeb's already traded. He's off the block.
Maybe should have played Butler in the Super Bowl. Chris needs you.
Do you realize you would have played Butler in Super Bowl probably one, and we would be less bitchy about everything.
Chris needs you for a school project, though. Do you want to
Chris,
talk to him?
Yeah.
Chris, what do you need Zoe for?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
I was trying to interview Zolak or Bertrand. I'm a communications and journalism major, and I'm in my speech class, and they said they want to interview someone. And my goal is to eventually be on radio, yeah, or on TV doing sports journalism. Nice. And I was like, why not interview people that I listen, right, to all the time?
Oh, how much money do you have to pay for the interview?
How much
what's the stipend?
Yeah, what does Zoe get for
what
for
do I what are you paying me to get off my couch to do the interview for?
Oh, what do I pay? Like, I don't know. Like, I'd give any amount of money to come see you guys. Like, this is just for my class.
Well, right. Zoe doesn't high school. College.
It's a joke, Chris. It's a joke.
Oh, it's a joke. I'm so, yeah, sorry. I'm very nervous.
I know you're nervous. Stay online. Stay online. Tom will get your information.
Hold on,
okay.
Hold on. Sarge wants
high
to know
or
if you're
college.
In high school.
What is it?
Is he
do you want to interview? Do you want to interview
Sarge?
He doesn't
have a journalism major in high school.
I was driven in high school. I did public access for a long time.
It's 11
time.
O'clock. Why would he be in the car driving
I don't
around?
Who knows?
No, I just got out of class. I go to North Shore Community in Danvers.
All right. Well, it's cool. Yeah. Okay. Good for him. That's awesome, man.
Listen to you guys since I got my license, so
Good for you.
Really want to meet you and
appreciate that.
Like 10 questions.
All right, okay. That's awesome.
I'm going
to
try and
start my
please put
start my career.
We're going right. to put you on hold.
I'm going to try and put you on hold here. Let's see if this works. All right, he's on hold.
Wow.
T-Bone and/or Tim, could you get Chris's information and we'll hook him up with Zoe?
Yeah,
Zoe can give me.
And I don't want 55 other journalism students calling in to do the same thing. Okay.
So, yeah.
I like that kid's engine.
Why don't you do them all at once? Why don't you do like a symposium?
I like that kid style. He's a go-getter.
Not sure what that word means, but it sounded really good. Sarge has the headlines.
Isn't it that
here.
Horror movie with the balls?
You're thinking of Friday the 13th.
No, I'm thinking of Phantasm.
You're thinking of Hellraiser.
I'm thinking of Phantasm.
Phantasm?
Yeah, with the tall, skinny Undertaker. Phantasm, dude.
With the balls?
With the hearse. He's got those the metal balls. That the spheres.
And Paul Bearer.
Remember that?
Of course.
Yeah, Phantasm. Yeah.
Phantasm.
Creepy. You want to freak your kid out. Flip that thing on before he goes to bed.
Right. Yeah.
Sarge will give us the headlines here, and then we're going to talk about the Bruins and what happened last night. Brad Marchand just continues to be Brad Marchand. That's coming up next.